Okay, good morning to everyone. It's good to be with you
on
this another day that the Lord has made. It is January the 17th in the year 2021, and this month is moving on. So I'm glad to see you. It's sunshine and pretty and bright here in Omaha. I don't know how the weather is where you are, but God is on the throne. So we give glory and honor to the Lord and to his son, Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to continue in our study from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, where we have been studying the Lord's Prayer. And it is my goal that we conclude this passage this morning. Now, that's my goal. We'll see how the Spirit leads us. There's a lot to still yet to say. We want to continue to keep Sister Kathy Piper and her family in prayer. I see Sister Piper is with us this morning, and they will be having the homegoing services today for her brother-in-law. So we want to keep her in prayer, and especially Sister Kathy's sister, Sister Mary Beth, especially needs our prayers at this time of trial and testing and sorrow. So we want to especially keep Sister Mary Beth in prayer. Everyone, please make sure you're on mute. I hear quite a few voices.
You wanted me to say
now. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and continue in our study. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this, a brand new day that you have made. We rejoice in you as God. We praise you that you are God who rules and reigns over all things, and your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion reigns over all. We give glory and honor to the Godhead, God the three in one. We thank you for Jesus, and we praise you, Jesus, our Savior. We praise the Holy Spirit, our teacher and our guide. We ask you to be with us and lead us and guide us and feed us this morning. We pray a special prayer for Sister Mary Beth, Sister Kathy Piper, and that family as they go through this hour of trial, Lord God, our sorrow and grief, that you would just put your loving arms around Sister Mary Beth, especially, Lord God, and draw her near unto yourself. May she feel your presence and even crawl up into your lap, Lord God, and just comfort her as only you can. We pray for the needs of everyone in this class, various needs, Lord God. We all stand in the need of prayer. And you know our every need, Lord. We lift them all up to you. We lift our nation to you in prayer, Lord God. You are God, and you know what we stand in need of. We ask you, Lord, to work it out. We ask you to fix things, Father, for your praise and for your glory. We pray this. Bless our lesson now. Bless our class, Lord. And may this be indeed an encounter with the living word of God, with even you, God, yourself. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Today we are continuing, and it is my goal to conclude our study from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And I want to say good morning to everyone joining us. I think I see Sister Sarah Evandy. Is that Sarah Evandy with us, Sarah?
Yes, yeah. This is Sarah. Yeah, this is Sarah Evandy from Cameroon.
All right, so Cameroon is in the house, Cameroon, Africa, and we're glad Sarah Evandy is with us together as a class. Sister Evandy, we remember to pray for you in the passing of your loved one, and we want to continue to keep you in prayer as well as you grieve the passing of your husband. He's in glory, and we'll continue praying for you and your family.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Luke chapter 11. We're continuing this morning, and it is my prayer that we will conclude this passage. It is an ambitious request, an ambitious goal that I have. So we'll see how the Lord leads us. Well, let's start out this morning, first of all, by reading the passage. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "Now it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we say, as always, amen to the word of God. Amen to the word of God. Now, it looks like I see someone that's laying down. And I'm not sure if Connie's iPad is asleep or not, but we see her. So everyone, always be aware. I put that on the email this last week that your cameras are picking up everything. So we pray that all is well with Sister Connie there. Okay, let's go on in our passage. Now, by way of review and overview, we have seen, first of all, that Jesus was in prayer. That's in verse 1. And when Jesus had finished his prayer, some disciple asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is the time that we see. This is one of the only times, if not the only time, that we see where a disciple actually asked the Lord to teach them. Jesus taught them much, but they had never requested it except for here, where a disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus answers the prayer, answers the request, and in verse 2, Jesus says, "When you pray, say." And he gave the disciples and us, because we are disciples, these thousands of years later, we are the disciples. So this prayer is just as good today as it was when Jesus gave it. He is the living word, the living word. This is the living word of God. This prayer transcends time. This prayer is for us today. It is a perfect prayer. And every prayer that we pray in some way, if it's truly a prayer, in some way it comes up under something that is in this prayer. It is a perfect prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It is a perfect prayer, and it is a complete prayer. It cannot be improved upon. We notice that this prayer is also recorded in Matthew, and Matthew added on in his gospel at the very end, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Luke did not record that, but we know that God's is the kingdom, his is the power, his is the glory. This is a precious prayer. It is precious because look who gave it. It is Jesus himself who told us exactly what to pray. We cannot improve upon what Jesus gave us. He knows what he's doing. He gives us this prayer. So we want to make sure that we pray this prayer frequently and even often and even daily, I would say. Because we notice in this prayer, in verse 3, it says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And so with that word daily in there, we should acquire the habit. And I am doing this. I'm in the process of praying this prayer daily. I admit I prayed it before. I prayed it regularly. I can't say I prayed it often, but I prayed this prayer. But since we've been in this study, I am learning, I'm growing, I'm maturing. God is working with me as well as he's working with you. And this should be a prayer that I would say should be incorporated into our daily lives. It is day by day, verse 3, our daily bread. This prayer is addressed to God the Father, who is our Father. The company of people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, bought with the price, washed from our sins, believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Redeemer and Lord. He becomes God, who is the Father of Jesus, becomes our Father through adoption. He becomes our Father through regeneration and being born again. He becomes our Father through redemption. And we give glory to God for the work of Jesus Christ. We give glory to God for making it all possible that we should be called the sons and the children of God. This prayer, we also saw it is to our Father in heaven. That is the address of the prayer. And we say by faith, we believe, even though we have not seen God, we believe that our Father, he is our Father and he is in heaven. Then we saw this prayer divides into two parts. It is divided by the pronouns. First of all, in verse two and two alone, here it is to God about God. It says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's God first in our prayers. And we've all probably, a lot of times we do praise the Lord and we acknowledge the Lord. But I would say we need to spend time before the throne of God, before God, worshiping him, lining our hearts with his heart, our mind with his mind. Get in tune with him. Spend time, first of all, with the Lord. We don't want to rush into the throne room with our needs and our prayer requests. God makes provision for our needs, and that's what we're going to study today, and for our requests. But it is God first. We want to hallow him first. We want to praise him and worship him first. It is God first, and we want to spend time adoring him. And sometimes in prayer, a lot of times, we need to think before we pray. You need to prepare, even in prayer. Now, depending on the situation, sometimes you don't have time to prepare. You just have to be ready to pray. But we do need to think about, well, I need to praise the Lord. I need to spend time hallowing his name, praying that his kingdom will come, and praying that his will be done. And so we saw on last week that it is about the name of God above anybody else's name. It is God's name and his alone that is to be hallowed. It is about God's kingdom. It is his kingdom that transcends all other kingdoms. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. When all the other kingdoms of this world have passed away, God is the king. He is the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And we acknowledge God as the king. We saw on last week that this God, who we say, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We saw that if there is a kingdom, there is a king. And we found out that the Father is the king. Now, I mentioned on last week, we here in America, we can't relate too much to king because we don't have a king in our nation. But we do have a king. As Christians, we have a king. And the king reigns. The king rules. The king has sovereignty. And the king is our God. God is our Father. God is our Savior. God is our king. And you know what the king says, go. If the king says do this, we do that. Well, our king is God. He sets the rules. But one thing about this king, our God, he is the king. We gladly submit to God because he is the king that loves us. He is the king that has our best interest in mind. He is God. He is our Father, and he is our king, ruling over us. God is our king. He tells us what to think. He tells us how he comes into every aspect of our life and takes over. And we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's what he requires as our King. And we yield to him. We confess that Jesus Christ is not only Savior, but Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we gladly submit to his Lordship. We gladly submit to God as our King, as our King. And so we pray, Lord, your will be done. It is not our will or anyone else's will. It is God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all divisions, all strifes on this earth, all divisions among mankind, among families, among nations, among any kind of division you can think of, comes up under someone wants to have their name hallowed. Someone wants to have their kingdom to come. Someone wants to have their will to be done. That is the source of all strife and division. It's not submitting to the will of God, not submitting to the kingdom of God, not submitting to the hallowedness of the name of God, but someone, and it could be an individual, it can be a person, it could be a community, it could be a nation, it could be all kinds of things. But division and strife comes through not saying, God, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, but it's all because someone, it could be me, it could be you, it could be anybody. We want our name to be lifted up. We want our kingdom. We want our kingdom to come. We want our will to be done. And that ushers in strife, division, and a lot of what we're seeing even today is because not saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, your name be hallowed, but it is about us. And so we want to always, as Christians and citizens, rise higher than these earthly things. Rise higher and say, Lord, however you want to do it, because God has the power, the wherewithal, the wisdom. He is the only wise God. Now, the first part of this prayer was here in verse 2, to God, about God. Now we're going to spend the remainder of the time in verses 3 and 4. And this is where the prayer pivots and turns the corner. And now the prayer is to God, but it's about us. It is about us. And we thank God that we have a God. And we thank Jesus that he would make provision for not only for us to hallow God, but he knew we have needs as well. So now we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And we see in verse 3 and 4, we've already seen in weeks gone by, the pronoun now changes from your name, your kingdom, your will. Now it changes to us, the people of God. And it says here in these petitions in verse 3 and 4, give us day by day our daily bread. That is the first petition that concerns us, is giving us this day our daily bread. Now, I talk King James because that's what I read. I'm reading New King James in class, but I grew up on Authorized King James, Old King James. And most of us who learned this prayer learned it from the Authorized King James. But here in the New King James, give us day by day our daily bread. That's the first petition regarding us. So the first petition is give us day by day our daily bread. Then it moves on to the next petition. And the next prayer is, and forgive us, and it's us, our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That is the next petition that concerns us. Jesus and God, you know, God, he tells us himself, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. That's in scripture. God has no need for food and bread and water, but we do. God has no need for forgiveness of sins. And that's why this is really the disciples' prayer. We are the ones that stand in need of forgiveness of sins. So that is the second petition. And then the third petition, when we go on in verse 4, it says, do not lead us into temptation. That is next. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so that's the third and fourth petition. I'm dividing them, but it could be as one. But I am saying, do not lead us into temptation is the third petition. And then the last petition is deliver us from the evil one. And so we have four different things that Jesus told us to pray for us, for the family of God, for ourselves individually, but also for all believers. So first of all, this is the outline. The Bible gives its own outline here. Give us day by day our daily bread. That has to do with provision. That has to do with supply. That has to do with needs, what we need to make it every day. So this first request, give us day by day our daily bread, is about provision. God as our provider, and his name being hallowed as Jehovah Jireh, God our provided. It concerns our food, and it concerns everything we need to make it through a day. The next petition here, and forgive us our sins. Now we're going to find out from this phrase, from these words, forgive us our sins, all the way to the end of this prayer in Luke has something to do with sin. It has something to do with sin or temptation or testing. Everything now from verse 4, forgive us our sins, to the end has something in some way to do with sin or testing or temptation or trials. That's what the remainder of this prayer for us is all about. And so where it says forgive us our sins, well, of course, we can see we need God to forgive us, the pardoning of God. Forgiveness that only God can give. We need God's provision for our daily needs, our physical needs. We need God's pardon for our spiritual need to forgive us of our sins. And then it says, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And so that is about forgiveness of sins. But then the next words say, and do not lead us into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. Well, this is how I'm outlining, and I see this. We need God to keep us. We need God to keep us from temptation. We need God to keep us from various trials. And I'm going to say more about that in a few minutes. But we need God as our keeper. We need God as our protector. We need him to keep us. We need him to guide us. We need him to protect us. We need him to do not lead us into temptation. But then it says, but deliver us. Deliver us. So it's kind of like I don't know the right words. It's kind of like I'm thinking of ping pong bouncing here back and forth. It's do not lead us into temptation, but temptations will come. Trials will come. And so therefore it says, but deliver us from the evil one. And there we need God to deliver us from the assaults, the attacks, the things, the pressures, the trials that the evil one gives. And so we see in this prayer that concerns us, we need God to provide for our needs. We need God to forgive us of our sins. We need God to keep us on this journey. We need God to protect us on this journey. We need God to guide us. That's that. Do not lead us. We need God to guide us. And then we need God to deliver us. We need him to deliver us and keep us from the evil one. And so with the remainder of our time, I want to say some things on each one of these petitions here that concerns us. Now, we have to say, Lord, we thank you that you knew we were going to need bread and you provided for that. We, in prayer, we can pray about it. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. You knew that we were going to commit sins, even as believers, and you have made provision for us in prayer through the sacrifice of Christ that our sins can be forgiven. And we are able and enabled to forgive others because we have been forgiven. We praise you, Lord God, that you are the one who will lead us and guide us. And we ask you, Lord, to do not lead us into temptation. We praise God as our keeper. We praise God as our guide. We praise God as our protector. And we praise God, hallelujah, we praise God as our deliverer. And so this is a complete prayer. And everything we go through in life is in this prayer in one way or another. And so let's look at this first request. Give us, now O King James, because I was going to say it, give us this day our daily bread. New King James, and this is as well, this is great. New King James says, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, first of all, God, our provider, the first word is give. That's the first word about us, is we need God to give. We need him to give. And Jesus has made a way that we can ask God to give us. He just doesn't want us to say that first. He doesn't want us to run into the throne room and immediately, first of all, say, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme. No, he wants us to spend time worshiping him, adoring him, lining our hearts and our attitudes and our minds with his name, his kingdom, his will. And then after that's done, now we can say, Lord, I need you to give. Well, God is a giving God. We praise God. He is a giving God. He is a gracious God. Gracious, he gives. He gives gifts. And everything we have, how did we get it? It's not because of a job. And God has made ways that we could have these jobs and we can have the different means to get things. But everything we have comes from the Lord. Now, the means where he gets us to it may be a job. It may be through parents. It may be through a husband. Sometime it may be through the government. Sometime it may be through someone's kindness where someone is helping someone in need. But however the means is, it is God who gives. And we praise the Lord that he is a giving God. He is a gracious God. And why would he not give to us? Well, he gives to us because we are his children. But God is so gracious, he makes his sun to shine on the thankful and the unthankful. But especially as his children, we ask the Lord. Now, when we say give us, we're praying to God to supply for us. Give us, Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, I've already said that bread means not only food. The bread bread sweeps in all the food we need. And you all, when you think about every day we need to eat, and God's going to provide. Some of you have eaten something already today. And you probably said, I hope you said, Lord, I thank you for this food, regardless of how little it may have been or how much. But the food came from God. And God is going to give us the rest of this day. And for as long as we live, Jesus has told us to pray for our daily needs. So whatever it is we need, it's not only for food, but it's whatever we need to sustain us. You know, bread, the staff of life. Whatever it is we need to sustain us, Jesus has given us the right to pray for it. Jesus has said we can pray for it. Pray that God will give us day by day. And so we are to live day by day, trusting God every day to give me today what I need. Well, what about tomorrow? Well, the Bible tells us don't worry about tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean go out and we shouldn't think about tomorrow in the sense of we don't spend every penny we have today. You hold back at least one because you may need it tomorrow. But we know ultimately what? God is going to take care of his children day by day by day. And the great example is in the Old Testament where God fed the children of Israel every day with manna that came from above. He took care of his children in the Old Testament. He will take care of us today. He feeds us every single day. And so we pray, give us, Lord, day by day, our daily bread. And when we do that, we are honoring God. We are saying it is God who gives me bread. We are thanking God. We are reverencing God. We are acknowledging it is God that I have what I have. It's not because of a job. God gave the job, you know, and that's how we get the food. God gave the job. God gave the strength. God provides the weather so we can have enough food. It is God. He is the source behind it all. God is our provider. He is good. He is gracious. He is loving. And now we can do what? We can depend on God. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what today's going to bring. But we know what? God is faithful. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but we know who holds the future. There's a song about that that says, I don't know about tomorrow, and we don't know about tomorrow, but we do know that God will take care of me today. And when this day gives way to tomorrow, it's a brand new day. And God will be there with brand new mercies, and he will take care of me every day of my life. You know, God is the one that gives our birthdays. It is ordained by God when we will be on this earth. God sets the birth date. And then God sets the death date. And we don't know the death date. We really don't know our birth date. We know because our parents told us. And it was somebody who told us when we were born. God, he keeps the death date to himself. And so there is this birth date, and then there is this death date. And in between the birth date and the death date, well, we have to get born again in there somewhere. And once we're born again, God has taken responsibility that he will take care of his children. So how many ever days are in between our born again date and our death date? And all of us can look back on our lives. I can. Even before we were born again, God was taking care of us. Even when we didn't even know to give God the glory. Some of us did not know to give God thanks for that food. But it was God who was sustaining us. It was God who keeping us. We can't even measure or number the amount of meals that we've ate probably even this month. Or last week, much less in a lifetime, that's a whole bunch of food. But God gave us every single meal. It is God, and we praise him. And so this is a cure for worry. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. And this falls into Satan to be tempting us to worry. It's enough going on in this nation today. that if we gave way to it, we could be swept up in fear. That's what the enemy is trying. We could be swept up in worry, but we know God is on the throne. We know his kingdom will come. His name will be hallowed. His will be done, and he will take care of me. He's going to give me day by day. And you too, because it's a us and our prayer, our daily prayer, daily bread. And so this frees us from worry. Now, sometimes that's a battle. That's in that deliver us, where it says, deliver us from the evil one. It's the evil one who would want us to worry. And sometimes when you're looking at natural things, it's enough to worry. But we look higher and we look to God, and he frees us from worry. He will take care of us. Now, time is moving on. We're going to cover as much of this prayer as we can today. But let's go to several scriptures. Let's go to Psalms, the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalm 104, the 104th number of Psalm. Psalm 104. And you know, when you think about all the needs that we have needed, and I mean physical needs, food, clothing, shelter, all of those things, God taking care of us. Psalm 104. And I put here, let's start at verse 10, Psalm 104. Now, before I read that, let me say this while it's on me. God, he gives the portion. God gives the portion. And sometimes, this is the reality of it all. Sometimes it may be through a lean season. Sometimes it may be through little, very little. But God will take care of us. He will sustain us. And even when natural food may fail, Jesus is that bread of life, and he will take us. Even in the lean season, he becomes our water and he becomes our bread to carry us through even the leanness. But God will take care of us, and he's a rich and he's a good and he's a gracious God. We serve a God who is not stingy. God is not stingy by any means. But some of us, if you look back in your life, as I can look back in my life, the things that we have today, and someone may be going through a season of leanness even now. You know, the wave can go up and down in life, but God will take care of us. Psalm 104, verse 10. It is God who sends the springs into the valleys. And the springs meaning the like streams of water. God sends the springs. It is God who sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Now, how did the beast of the field get their drink? It is because, verse 10, God sent the spring. Verse 11, they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. You know, everything is in the Bible. So right here in the Bible, we see birds singing in the branches. That's in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible one way or another. So they sing among the branches. And then it says he, verse 13, it is God who waters the hills from his upper chambers. And so that's God and, you know, sprinkler systems. Well, ultimately, it is God who is the sprinkler system. God gives, he gives the springs, and he gives the waters from the hills. I tell you, everything is in the Bible in one way or another. Verse 13, he waters the hills from his upper chambers. The whole earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man. Now it comes on down to us. For the service of man, that he that he, talking about us now, may bring forth food, that the farmer may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, all to make his face to shine, and bread, there it is, and bread which strengthens man's heart. And so the scripture goes on right here in Psalm 104, how God takes care of all creation, and how much more will he not see about his children? God will take care of me. I don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what today holds, but we know who holds the day, and we know who holds tomorrow. It is God. And then we go on down to verse 21, and verse 21 says, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. So even the animals know that it is God who provides their food. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. And then verse 23, I just want to take the time to show you this. In verse 23, man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. And right there, doesn't say it, but it's rush hour traffic. Because in verse 23, man goes out to his work. And that's when most, you know, rush hour in the morning, man going out to his work. And then there's the evening rush hour and to his labor until the evening. And so God, the means that God provides for us to get food, well, he has set it in the earth, but then he gives us these jobs that we have, or he gives a parent a job to take care of children. And so God frees us. He frees us from worry. And he wants us to know he will take care of us. We are of more value than all the sparrows in the world. We are of more value than the lions and all of these creatures. And then let's go to Psalm 145, because we've been in this psalm for several weeks, the 145th number of psalm. Psalm 145. And I can say right now, this is going to be conclusion part one, because we're not going to finish the Lord's Prayer today. So we'll conclude, Lord willing, next week. Psalm 145. And in Psalm 145, let's start at verse 14. The Lord, Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord upholds. Well, let's start at verse 10. Verse 10 says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. And we have talked about that in the past. And your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. So that verse right there, verse 11, where it says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. I want you to see those three words there, because when Matthew ended the prayer, he said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And here are those three words of praise right here in verse 11. They shall speak of the glory. Thine is the kingdom, your kingdom and the glory. And then verse 11 and the power. So it's all right here in verse 11, the kingdom, the glory, and the power. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Praise the Lord. That's a good verse, because in life, things will happen in life. But it says the Lord will uphold all who fall and he will raise up all who are bowed down. There are things in life that will cause you to bow down, but God will raise up his children. And then it goes on, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you, God, give them their food in due season. Verse 16, you open your hand. So all of this from Genesis, it is in Genesis where God was taking care of man and God taking care of his earth. And God still with open hand in verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious. That's the word, gracious, which hooks back up to give. God is gracious in all his works. And then it goes on saying more. So Psalm 145, I encourage you to read that psalm when you have a chance. Well, in our remaining about 9 minutes, let's go back to Luke chapter 11 and let's look at the next petition here. So we thank God. You know, we can praise God all day that he will take care of me every day. And God knows the measure of my days. And this also, you know, it frees us from worry, but it also should free us from jealousy. And it should free us from being covetous. It is God who measures out the food. It is God who gives the portion. It is God who says who lives where. There are sister here in Cameroon. Then we have another sister in London. And God put us here. I'm in Omaha. Well, how did all that come about? God measures out the portion. He does those things. God takes care of us. And we do what? We say, Lord, we thank you. Whether in seasons of leanness or in much, we give glory and honor to God. He will take care of us. And for some who have been through lean times in life, you can testify. If we had a time of testimony, you could sit right here today and testify, God brought me through. And now let's look at this next petition, verse 4. It says, because God knew that we were going to mess up. And so it says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, verse 4 lets us know, first of all, there is an acknowledgement that we have messed up. You know, everybody doesn't acknowledge I made a mistake. I messed up, much less say I sinned. But as Christians, if you mess up, say you messed up. And the Bible, Jesus made allowance. He knew we were going to fall short of the glory of God. He knew we were going to transgress and trespass. He knew we were going to overstep the boundaries. God knew all of that. And so we just say, Lord, forgive me, forgive us of our sins. Now, individually, you need to confess your sin, and not in a general way, not in a general way, but to God, call out the sin. Whatever it may be, call it out to God, whatever that sin may be. And so this is an acknowledgement of sin. Lord, I sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And then on behalf of others, however that works, I pray, Lord God, forgive us. I have prayed last week now, even for the nation. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Somebody has to stand in the gap because sin is the cause of it all. I mean, you know, when you trace things all the way back to roots, and we pray, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me of my sin. And then forgive us. And it's good to pray for your family like Job did. Pray for your family. Forgive us of our sins. And however God works that, we just say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. And then I, as a Christian in these United States of America, I pray, and you all should join with me in prayer too. Somebody got to pray, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, or whose Lord is God. We want to stand as Christians and rise above earthly politics and say, Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done, your name be hallowed, and forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Am I getting excited? Well, God's word is life, honey. God's word is life, and it'll make you come alive. And so it says, and forgive us our sins. So we acknowledge our sins. And you know, everybody doesn't acknowledge their sins. They say, I don't see nothing wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. He did it. She told me to do it. He made me do it. It was the woman who told me to do it. I mean, we're even hearing that now. No, individually, be responsible for your sin. And so we acknowledge our sins to God, and then we acknowledge, Lord, I need you to forgive me. Do you know no one's getting in heaven with sin on them? That's the worst thing a person can die as, a sinner. because no one gets in heaven with sin on them. We have to be forgiven of our sins. It is an imperative. Lord, forgive us of our sins. And the provision is made for God to forgive us of our sins because Jesus paid the price. You know, God just can't sweep sin under the rug. He can never just say, oh, that's okay. Never mind. I know you didn't mean it. Somebody must pay for sin because God is just. He is just. And who paid the price for our sins? Jesus did. That's why he had to suffer, bleed, and die to pay the price for sin. And so we pray, Lord, forgive us. The church, we pray for the church has sinned because it's if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. And then it goes on and then it says, then I'll heal the land. And so the church is responsible. The church has sinned. And then it moves out and many suffer because of sin. And so we pray, Lord God, we thank you. You're going to take care of us day by day, our daily bread. And we ask you, even this morning in the contemporary Bible class, to forgive me, forgive us in the Zoom class of our sins. Lord God, we pray. And then it goes on to say, for we, now we have something we got to do, we have to do here. We also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And we have the grace to do it. God's going. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't just. Someone still must pay for sin. Sin must be paid for in some way or another. And that's why you hurry up and should confess sin, because Jesus has paid the price. Now, that doesn't mean we always get all away from the consequences of it, but at least we're cleansed and forgiven of our sins. But then it tells us here, we forgive everyone. We also forgive. Did it say everyone? Everyone. That's a big word. Everyone who is indebted to us. And that takes God's grace to do it. But God has never asked us to do something that he does not give us the grace to do. Now on next week, Lord willing, let's look at these next petitions here. And I kind of knew I wanted to conclude this day, the Lord's Prayer today. But these last petitions here are huge because it has to do with temptation and testing. All of us, when we go through life, you can't get around it. We will all be tested in one way or another. We will all be tempted in one way or another. God will test us. God is testing us, and God will test us in many ways. Even in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the tree was there. It was a test. And you know, our quote at church, we sing, it's only a test. And sometimes we be clapping our hands to that and kind of bouncing. But them tests can be mighty hard sometimes. Some of them tests will take all the bounce out of you. Some of these tests. And so we're going to see on next week, God tests us and the devil tempts us. And it's all through life, just like the children of Israel. We have 2 minutes. We're traveling through the wilderness. That's us. We are on this Christian journey. This earth is not our home. And as we go through this journey, we have many ites to fight, just like Israel did in the Old Testament. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, well, and the Hittites and all them ites. It was a whole bunch of them. Well, we have our ites too, and we're going to be tested and we're going to be tempted. God will test us and the devil will tempt us. And so we're going to end today, 1 minute here, and we pray. I'm going to end and go into prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. And it is a light unto our path. It is a chisel working on us. And it is a mirror. We thank you for your word, which is a sword in the time of battle. And now we end today praying as your son taught us to pray. The contemporary Bible class this morning joins in with saints all over the world. And we pray, our Father in heaven, we hallow your great name. We pray that your kingdom will come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask you, Lord, gracious God, to give us day by day our daily bread. And we ask you, God, who knew we would mess up, to forgive us of our sins. For we also, help us, Lord, forgive everyone who is indebted to us. We pray, Lord God, that through this week, that you will not lead us into temptation, but you will be our great deliverer, delivering us from the evil one himself. Greater is he, Lord God, who is in us than he that is in the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We ask you to be with us this week. In Jesus' name, and keep us in your care. We ask you to be with America this week and keep us in your care. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our great Savior. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Glad to see everybody.
Amen.
Ready.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You all continue in prayer.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You know the words, sister. You know the words.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so glad to see everyone.
Have a great day.
Can't see me, but I'm here too.
Well, I heard somebody say, and I see many people waving. Sister Piper, we're praying for you.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody.
Amen.
Sarah Cameron, amen. I'm glad you joined us.
Amen.
And everybody else.
You can't see me, but I'm here.
That's Sister Cole. I know her.
Yes, it is. Hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Have a great week. Two participants raise their hand. All right.
Yeah.
These computers are just kind of too smart.
Hello, Kelvin.
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
Sandra Foster, I just saw her name. I think
I'm trying to get in. How do you get in?
Hallelujah.
Bye-bye. That's Cheryl. I'm so happy to see you all. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Velma.
Who was that who said hi, Velma, or bye, Velma?
Your cousin, Charles.
Oh, hey, Charles. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, God bless you.
Boy, I'm going to give me an iPod or something.
I'm going to see these folks. I know. In prayer. We need prayer.
Pray.
Okay, I'm a end the meeting. God be with you.
All right.
Meet again.
Okay. So with you.
Amen.